This podcast is brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Keep Joy on air by becoming a member, a subscriber, or donate. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.
Welcome to a Joycast from Joy 94.9. Visit joy.org.au to find out more about our Joycast.
Joe, what was travelling in your week?
I was daydreaming this week. I was just thinking of Vietnam. I'm so focused on the forward planning of the trip. I can't help myself.
I know. Yep. I know. It's going to be a fantastic trip, and it's only about 3 weeks away before you're in the land of Dong.
Yes, I fly out on the 27th. Mm. Sorry, it's edging ever closer after each night's sleep.
Yeah.
So not that we're counting.
So you're spending much time in Richmond going from far to far bar?
No, I'm going to save my culinary delights for being in situ.
So you're going to get the far out of here?
I am. I'm leaving on a jet plane.
Yeah, excellent. So Vietnam is coming up for you. We'd love to hear from our listeners. So tell us if you've got some travel coming up very soon or if you've just...
And any tips for Vietnam as well. I'd love them.
Trips to Vietnam would be great. So let us know. Communicate with us, as we said, 0427-JOY-949 or 1300-JOY-949 or on air at joy.org. .au. We've got a special guest today, haven't we, Joe?
We do, but before we go to special guest, I need an update on your Bali saving fund.
Oh, okay.
How's it going?
It's going surprisingly well. I've been lucky enough to be asked to go to a couple of research evenings and where you get compensated for your travel. So, yeah,
oh, right. I know, right? When you said research, I was thinking of things poking and prodding, but... My mind is in the wrong space.
No, no bunnies with drops going in their eyes to see if this perfume works well. No, none of that. Research where you sit around with a bunch of other people and talk about commercial concepts and focus group kind
so
of
not
things.
Even the suburb research.
No. No. South Melbourne, it was very, very accessible. And... So I've done two recently, and each time it's like...
Were you paid in coins?
No, foldable stuff, which has gone straight into my Bali piggy bank.
Mm, I thought only coins were going in the piggy bank.
No, I've actually got some foldable stuff in there. So at the moment, I've already reached my spending goal for the week that I'm there. So, but I will be hiving behind everybody's sofas when I'm there. So if you see me, don't invite me over to your house if you have coins behind your IKEA sofa cushions, because I will find them and I will steal them.
Rattling mark.
Mm, for my Bali fund.
So into the studio this afternoon, we have Jody Wilmer. Jody, welcome.
Thank you so much. It's great to be here.
Oh. Well, we're going to have to welcome you again, Jody.
Thank you with the mics on. It's great to be here.
So, Jody, our listeners know you very, very well, but I'm wondering, do they know what your first travel adventure was?
Well...
And will you be prepared to share one of your first travel adventures with us this afternoon?
Certainly. Well, it's been quite a while since I've been on Joy, previously doing the Detours Travel Show here on Joy. And so my first travel adventures, what do you define that as, sort of family holiday stuff or independent travel? What's the scope here?
Whatever it is that gave you the travel bug. Because I think we could safely say you've got the travel bug.
Oh, absolutely. I have the travel bug. Absolutely. I think it would be a combo of early childhood family trips and especially to coastal areas in Victoria. So a lot of my relatives live in regional Victoria and Gippsland holidays were the thing we did. But more sort of far afield, certainly my first trip overseas was with my mum and sister to Bali. For a school holiday adventure.
Ah, so you had a saving program as well?
No. I was fortunate that was all covered. But that was my first trip overseas, and I absolutely relished in being immersed in a different culture with different languages and different types of food and unfamiliar smells. And I remember walking through one of the big wholesale food markets and all these fruits and vegetables I've never seen before. And, you know, horrifying things like fish with no ice and, you know, things like that. Not very good food hygiene, in my opinion. But amazing experiences being somewhere else and immersing myself in a different culture.
And how old were you when you went to Bali?
I would have been probably about 13 or 14.
Wow, that's a pretty cool effort.
Yeah. But the first big holiday that we had in Australia to Queensland was to the Great Barrier Reef.
Ah.
So in terms of...
flying or driving?
We flew, and then we went out on one of those, you know, boats out to the international, what do you call that, edge bit, you know?
The continental shelf.
Continental shelf, thank you. And, you know, swimming out into the ocean and experiencing, you know, looking at all the different beautiful fish. I mean, the reef isn't as it was then. I mean, that was over 20 years ago now, but it was an amazing experience.
Well, they sound like pretty good first travel adventures.
And so who'd you go with? You went with family?
I went with my family in Australia for those holidays.
Mm-hmm.
Absolutely. And then my first independent travel overseas was as an exchange student, actually, to Germany in 1990. And, of course, that's where I met Mark.
Jawohl.
Yeah. And that was really... a life-changing experience in a lot of ways about...
Meeting Mark is, I can vouch for
Yeah, absolutely, absolutely. Who is that man?
I'm not sure I'm offended. I'm not quite sure.
Well, you did introduce me to Black Forest cake and, you know, forever thank you for that.
In the Black Forest, no doubt.
That's correct.
Zogar.
And so that was really a fantastic experience as a young person to travel independently, and I'm forever grateful to, well, not just my family, but to the families who hosted me and the Rotary Clubs who made that all work, because, you know, it was amazing to be, once again, immersed in a different culture, but, you know, for 12 months.
So is it that immersion that each time you have a travel adventure that reminds you that it can't be the last?
Absolutely.
You have to have the next one.
Yes, absolutely. And also that, you know, you can go back to different destinations over and over again and have completely new experiences depending on how you feel, time of year, weather, who you're with, what sort of festivals are on. I think that is one of the most exciting things. And I've been to Oman, for example, now 3 times, and each time was a completely different experience.
Wow. So... I'm thinking now there are different ways that you like to travel. Would you consider yourself a solo, or are you more a companion group traveller?
Well, once again, that depends on my stage of situation in life. When I had a long-term partner, we travelled a lot together, and that was a big part of our relationship. Josephine, was fantastic at putting together the Excel spreadsheet with all of the itinerary information, and I was really good at on-the-ground orientation and finding our way around.
Team effort.
Team effort. It worked really well. We were great travel companions. Now it's different. I've been on a number of trips in the last couple of years as a solo traveller, meeting up with friends. And I love that as well. So travelling independently and then spending a bit of time on my own and then hooking up with friends and staying with them or being, you know, part of their life in that location. And then I've done also some small group tours of recent times for the first time.
And these were with people you didn't know?
I didn't know anyone. One was with Intrepid, small group tour in India, and absolutely loved it. It's great. And in fact, you know, I'm still friends with a lot of the people who I met on that trip.
Travel tends to do that, doesn't it? It's a very shared experience which causes changes in people's lives, and to share that with someone else is a very bonding.
It is. And you know, sometimes people say, oh, but, you know, I don't want to pay for single supplements, or, you know, I don't want to travel on my own. Well, I've met the most incredible people, and travelling on my own in a small group is a great way to do it, because, you know, there's always someone to talk to. Look, if someone's annoying you, there's always other people to hang out with, or just go and do your own thing.
Although going on the Tiki, a Contiki style large groups, I think would be a little bit more wearing and less enjoyable than the smaller groups, because you're with Intrepid, so you're very much so with people of your own ilk and with similar interests, right?
Yeah, there was a pretty broad range of cross sections. I think there were 13. It was quite a big group.
Mm.
And people from all over the world, mainly from Australia, but there are a few folk from New Zealand, Canada, and the UK.
And that reminds me, Mark, when we mentioned Contiki before, mm-hmm. we had a guest who was on the show a few months ago, Roger Unger.
Mm.
And he has become a documentary maker,
mm-hmm.
and his documentaries that he made have progressed from Channel 31 to SBS television.
Yeah, and they're screening very soon.
They are, I think.
Well, I'll get the details and then we'll broadcast the exact times. Yeah, I'll Google that when we've got a song coming up in a minute. But that he was a fantastic guest, and this is very exciting.
He was, and his entire you know, passion and his hobby stemmed from actually being on a Contiki tour. And, I mean, I know it's something that we often malign is something like that, the scale of Contiki, but you never know. It can change your life.
It can absolutely change your life. I think it changed Rogers very, very much. He's a if for those who don't recall, he basically films himself. He does it all himself and no one else, and then goes back and re-edits and does the commentary himself as well. So it's very much so Roger Unger's view of how to do things, and he does it all from home up in Callista. Sassafras, I think, in the beautiful hills just outside of Melbourne, and we're very excited. So we'll find out the exact details and let everyone know, and we'll put it on our website as well. Actually, we've got a new Facebook page, Escape Pod on Joy 94.9. So we do have a Facebook group where you can communicate with us and let us know things, but now you can do it on a page, which is apparently much better. So I'm learning, face learning.
Which means you've had a very busy week, Mark, technology driven.
I have been so .com/.
Syncing your Bluetooth.
I know. My Bluetooth was sunk all week.
Well, just coming back to the group trips, I recently started burlesque classes with Joe as well.
Va-va-voom.
Yes, and a number of other gal pals. And actually, three of the friends who come along to join us met each other from working in Europe on bus trips, and one of them was the sort of, you know, in operations manager, the other one was a trainee tour guide, and the other one was a tour guide, and they've been friends for over 25 years.
Wow.
So, travel, it broadens your horizons. What can we say, Mark?
Are we going to ask a question so she can tell us?
Well, that would be helpful.
That's a good idea, because it's an interview format.
Yeah, it's
a magazine show. Yeah.
Or you can freestyle.
So, Jody, in the first segment, you spoke about travelling not just for the destination but to actually meet up with friends, and also how travel increases your network of friends. So if you think about it, how would you define travel?
Gosh, how would I define travel? Well,
or maybe why do you need to travel?
Why do I need to travel? Okay, that makes sense to me. Why do I need to travel? I think for me it's about stepping out of my daily life and learning completely new things, not about just other people and other environments and cultures and environments, but about myself. So, for example, when I was in India in Amritsar, which is in the far north in Punjab, I arrived a couple of days early and I was meeting up with my two lovely friends who are living in Bangalore at the moment. And so I was a bit early and I was just sort of mooching around. And I remember I'd been on my own for about a week and a half for this trip, and I was actually quite sick and tired of being by myself. I was a bit lonely.
Me, myself, and I were no longer doing it.
I know. And I was in the restaurant of the hotel, and I walked in, and there was no one around in the restaurant other than the waiter. And I looked around, and I looked at him, and I'd looked at the menu, and then I burst into tears. And he said, "Ma'am, what's wrong?" I said, "I'm sick of being on my own." Like, why would you say that to a stranger? What was I thinking? Pull it together. So he came over and he got another waiter as well. Of course, they were sort of fussing over me at this stage because they didn't really know what to do. And they gave me some serviettes.
Did they think you were unhinged or something?
Probably. It was very hot. I'm not very good in the heat. And when I'm hungry, it's even worse. And he said, "Why don't you choose things from the menu and we'll take it to your room?" I said, "That's a great idea." So what I learned about that was, you know, a week and a half was too long for me just to be mooching around on my own. So, you know, maybe I should have planned ahead with something to actually, you know, meet some people on Meetup, which is an online community of things of interest. We can just meet people in bars or you know, do things together. But, yeah, a week and a half is too long for me, but we're all different.
So it's interesting that you mentioned you were staying in a hotel, because the next question that I've always wanted to ask you is, what style of travel do you prefer?
I'm not sort of focused necessarily on star ratings or, you know, particular brands or anything like that. For me, the criteria is quite simple. It needs to be close to public transport, needs to be clean. It needs to have good reviews on TripAdvisor. I do a lot of research online. And ultimately, I think it doesn't need to have lots of frills of, you know, facilities. I don't go to the gym in Melbourne. You know, I'm not going to go to the gym somewhere else. So for me, accommodation is really primarily somewhere to stay overnight because I'm out and about most of the rest of the time. Having said that, just for the first time, I've booked something on Airbnb for here in regional Victoria. So that'll be a new experience. I've rented out my place before, but I've never stayed in anyone else's.
And when you said before, you perhaps don't need a gym, for example, but do you like to rough it or do you you know, are you keen on doing trekking or are you more an urban environment?
I like getting out in nature, but I like to have the sort of urbane experiences as well. So I think for me...
Need to see the skyscrapers in the distance?
Yeah, that does make me feel sort of content. Look, I enjoy going to places where there is amazing scenery and, you know, you really can unplug. But having said that, I went to a retreat recently in the hinterlands of Noosa, and one of the things I was most excited about was that there was no mobile phone coverage. And I was really good with that until I saw people up on the mountain with their mobiles trying to get coverage, and then I suddenly had this sort of, you know, fear of missing out. So
it is the craziest thing, isn't it, to watch people try to pick up a mobile phone signal. Yes.
It is, absolutely. But I think I do enjoy experiences, particularly where, you know, you can unplug and you're way away from everything. But the accommodation there would have to be also, you know, not swags on the ground or something, you know, a tent or something that's a little bit more civilised.
Excellent. Now, you've already alluded earlier that you've put your apartment onto Airbnb, and knowing that you do like to travel to see friends, I'm assuming that that works in reverse and that you have a lot of friends who like to travel to Melbourne to actually see you. How do you like to host your travellers who arrive?
I guess I treat my friends in the same way I like to be treated, and that is to be given freedom and independence. So, you know, I really love having friends come to stay, but I also like them to feel they can go and do their own thing and catch up with other people and not be sort of glued to my hip. So what I do is certainly try and spend, you know, the first night with them and go out for dinner or have something together. And I always have a welcome pack of things to do and see in Melbourne, and a Mikey as well, so that they can get around on public transport. And then pretty much I give them a set of keys, and we pick some points during their visit that we can connect and spend time together, but pretty much leave it open. And I find that works really beautifully. And I also like it when, you know, I can interact and meet their friends as well, or that they can come to our place too.
And you've found that using social media to get people to come and stay has been successful?
Yes, it has. I've rented out my place to people who I don't know a number of times, and it's been fantastic.
Yeah.
I've put a manual together on how to use everything in the apartment. I had a trusted friend who looked after things, and I went away. And that paid for my flights.
Excellent. And which site did you use, or did you use various sites?
I used Gumtree in the accommodation section. Yeah, but, you know, there's other options around as well.
So have you tried Airbnb, which is kind of the benchmark, I guess?
No, I've just recently registered, so we'll see how that goes.
Okay, so Gumtree was a good alternative for you.
Yeah.
That's interesting. We'll also put them on our Facebook page so everyone can just click the links and just go to Facebook.com/... Escape Pod on Joy 94.9. That's us.
That is. Now, tell me, opening your home to people that you don't know who are travelling, did you have to get over any issues yourself, or have you always been fine with it?
Always been fine. In my family as well, you know, we've always stayed at relatives' places. There's always been, you know, a lot of freedom to come and go, even if they're not there. You know, they tell you where the spare key is. It's a little bit difficult on the 23rd floor of an apartment building to arrange that sort of stuff. You know, I do take any of my private and personal belongings, and I put those, you know, off-site somewhere safe and papers. But I find, you know, everyone is really respectful, and they often, you know, leave flowers and cards, and, you know, they enjoy it. And I think because I love my place, I love that other people can enjoy it while I'm not there too.
Mark.
Yes.
Sorry.
I also enjoy Jodie's apartment, actually. If Jodie's ever going away and you would like to stay in a gorgeous inner city apartment with incredible views over the Botanic Gardens and Hogwarts, or is it Melbourne Grammar School? Can't remember. It's a beautiful apartment with incredible views, lots of glass and very high, and it's just a lovely place to sit and watch the governor's flag go up and down when he's in residence, and the Hisense Arena with its LED lights, which sounds tackier than it really does look at night. Yes, incredible. And then you wake up in the morning and you see the beautiful balloons wandering by. It really is a lovely, lovely slice of paradise right here in the heart of Melbourne.
Thank you. Yeah, well, it's quite a simple place, but I think, you know, the scenery makes it beautiful. And did you know, though, that those people on those hot air balloons can see into the apartment?
Why would you think they couldn't?
Well, I thought, well, you know, it's a bit of a distance and surely they've got better things to look
at. Telephoto lenses.
Yeah, yeah, on the balcony, just, you know, with a towel wrapped around me, and they were waving at me like, oh, hello.
Upa days. Did you give them a thrill?
No.
Oh, okay.
I'm quite modest.
You're at Joy 94.9.
We are in the studio with Jodie Wilmer. Jodie, your day job is with Travellers Aid. So just for the people of the Escape Pod listening community who don't know Travellers Aid, tell us a little bit about where Travellers Aid fits in to the travel community.
Well, Travellers Aid's a non-profit organisation established in 1916. I haven't been there that long. I started.
You're looking remarkably well, if
thank
you had
you, been. Thank you, Thank you. I started in at Travellers Aid as the CEO in 2006. So what we do is we support travellers who have a range of needs and we help people overcome barriers to accessing the community or doing the things they want to do. So
What kind of barriers?
Well, a lot of people...
The public transport network?
Well, we help people use public transport, but that's not the barrier necessarily. But for a lot of people, it's a lack of confidence about getting out and about. So people, for example, who have mental health issues, who might have a fear of actually, you know, getting out and being independent. People with autism who are transitioning to independent life, who need assistance to navigate. We find as well, people often find it most difficult when there's unplanned disruptions, particularly people who are frail-aged and people with disabilities and mobility needs. And so what we do is we help people build transport confidence and to make their way around and do the things they want to do. And that could be people who are travelling from regional areas to Melbourne for medical appointments. We've got a program with volunteers who accompany people to those appointments, right through to personal care support for people with disabilities. And we have a buggy service at Southern Cross Station where we pick up people from one part of the station and take them to another part so they can make their connections. Amongst a number of other things.
Sounds like a busy organisation.
It is, it is. I mean, in the last financial year, we had 11% increase in our service demand.
Why? Do you know? Can you find out?
Yeah, we can. We have an ageing population, so as people age, sometimes they need more assistance, although there's lots of independent, healthy, older people out there, including my parents who are, you know, grey nomads travelling around spending my inheritance.
And my parents who are sitting, getting their fingers dirty on the newspapers outside in the Joy studio.
Exactly.
Blissfully ignoring you, Mark.
They're not even listening. No. Thanks for coming.
Part of the other reason for growing demand is, although Australia is a very prosperous country and we haven't been as hit as hard as other countries with the global financial crisis, there are a lot of people who experience disadvantage and who are vulnerable. And that includes people who are in a crisis and emergency. And one of the programs we have is where we book and arrange travel for people. And, you know, there are an incredible number of reasons why people do need to travel. And it's not just leisure pleasure stuff, which we've been talking about, but fleeing family violence or visiting friends and family
funerals.
In prison and funerals. Yep.
I suppose that's big with the Indigenous community because it's...
Very significant.
Very significant. And quite often the destinations are remote.
That's correct. That's correct. And so there's a whole range of reasons why people need to travel. And we also assist young people on public transport to get to school. And that's through our Pathways to Education program. And we've got some regional pilots underway in Wodonga and Wangaratta. So things are pretty busy.
Now,
that's a lot.
There's a link, isn't there? Because you mentioned earlier that one in your welcome pack, when you are hosting travellers coming to Melbourne, you include a Mikey card so that they can get around on public transport. What is the link between Travellers Aid and Mikey?
Well, we're an integral part of the public transport system and we're located at two of the major transport hubs at Flinders Street Station and Southern Cross Station in Melbourne. And we enable people to access transport and do whatever it is they need to do. And Mikey is the smart card ticketing system here in Victoria now that's rolled out in regional areas and some bus regional towns of buses as well. So we really thought, you know, there is an opportunity for Travellers Aid to claim that space of helping people, making sure that they are using valid tickets and travelling lawfully and not risking an infringement. But also, you know, Mikey can slip in and out of your wallet or your purse, but it would be far better if it's not naked and you can put it in something sexy and gorgeous like a Mikey cover.
So in front of us here are 9 very sexy Mikey covers, I must say. They're going to make your lime green Mikey card look very smartly dressed.
Throw it away.
What?
Get rid of the lame one.
The lame one?
The lame one's horrible. Get
who's,
these.
Who's got the lame one?
What's no, the green Mikey cover.
The, oh, the green. Oh, yeah. I was talking about the cover, the actual colour of the Mikey card.
Is that's lame a, too. You've got to cover it in these.
It's very Wham, isn't it? The,
yeah. Wake me up before you travel.
Yes, exactly.
Well, but you've got great colours here. There's one in like Breaking Bad meth green.
Yeah, that's right. Well, we've got 9 designs that we commissioned, and we actually put them on Facebook and got people to vote for them. And
So this is what Melbourne has voted as being stylish.
But not just Melbourne, but across Victoria, where people said, you know, we like that one. And Public Transport Victoria have given us a licence to use this, and although that they don't sort of necessarily endorse the product officially, but they've been
in
really
case it breaks.
No, and they've been really helpful with that, and I think it's going to be something that public transport users will, you know, come to demand and want, and Travellers Aid is the place to get them. So what we've done is set up on our website a shopping cart facility with secure transactions for credit cards, and there's 9 designs. So let me run through some of those great designs. So they're a plastic cover that you can fold and put in your bag or your handbag.
And anyone who's been to London and got an Oyster card will be quite familiar with these, because they do look very similar to the Oyster card covers you
they
can
do.
Buy.
They do. So they're very durable. They're plastic. You know, they're easy to find in your bag or in your back pocket. And we've got one. Now, my all-time favourite is a bright red one that says, keep calm and catch public transport.
Yes. It's pillar box red. It's just gorgeous.
That's correct. And we've got a candy stripe one, which I think might be a fan for the gay, lesbian, transgender, bisexual and intersex community perhaps. And
that's going straight to Facebook.
And we've also got a monsters one, which is really neat, sort of funny little characters, and leopard.
Oh, yes. The animal print one is quite gorgeous. It matches my shoes today. Quite like that one.
Exactly. So there's a bunch online that people can get them for free. Now, you know, you might be saying, well, why is Travellers Aid giving these away for free? Because you know, actually trying to raise money and you need to.
Well, you don't like naked Mikey cards.
Well, that's
I've
right.
That
it
out.
Has to stop. No, well, the part of the reason we're doing this is to build awareness about what Travellers Aid does to assist people using public transport. And we are giving them away for free. We are asking people to cover the costs of postage and handling, because there are some admin costs associated with doing that. And we're also inviting people to make a donation. And people have been really generous already. We've had, you know, I think the largest donation was about, you know, $55, which was fantastic. And, you know, right through to a couple of coins that somebody sent in an envelope in the mail. And, they're available now, and they're from Travellers Aid's website, which is travellersaid.org.au.
And when did they go on sale? Oh, well, not sale, because they're free. So
they're free.
When did they become available?
Well, our site went live on Wednesday, and Andrea, our communications officer, has done a great job in making that all work. And we've already given away 280.
That's outstanding.
Wow,
yes.
Okay. So there's 280 outrageous Mikey. These are great.
Out
we're
there
post
in the community. And we have got some little envelopes for people who aren't IT savvy and don't want to use online. And they can be, you know, collected from our services at Southern Cross and Flinders Street Station, or here at City Village at 225 Bourke Street, which is where Joy's located.
Yes, it is. It's in the very same building.
Well, in the spirit of community announcements, should we take a short break?
Absolutely. We're going to come back and learn more about these. And we've already put one picture on Facebook. So join us.
Our new Facebook page.
Yeah. Escape Pod, that's us, on Joy 94.9. Have a search.
It's Saturday afternoon.
You have busted a boiler already. Just search for us on Facebook and become one of our Facebook page followers, and then you can see Jody modelling one of these Facebook covers. Mikey covers.
Facebook covers.
I'm going back to bed. Let's hear from our sponsors, Joy 94.9.
Are you living with HIV or wish to support those who are? Your voice is important. Your action is necessary. Become a member of Living Positive Victoria, a community-based organisation that aims to educate, support and advocate on behalf of people living with and those affected by HIV. Together, we will advance the human rights and well-being of all people living with HIV. To become a member or to find out more, email info@livingpositivevictoria.org.au or simply visit the website livingpositivevictoria.org.au.
Melbourne's favourite all-male pop choir, Low Res, presents All Aboard, Songs of the Journeys We Take and the Love We Make. A new show inspired by the journeys of love, life and home. Showing at the North Melbourne Town Hall on the 25th and 26th of October. For more information, roam on over to lowres.com.au and get your tickets now.
While you're busy Facebooking and
covering your Facebook
and websiting and getting your Mikey card out and thinking, which cover would look better with it today, we've still got Jody in the studio, so I can't let you go without asking, what are your future travel plans?
Well, Jo and Mark, my future travel plans are in the next couple of weeks, I'm heading to Daylesford, so a regional location in Victoria.
Spa territory.
For our international listeners, and I know there's heaps of international listeners.
Well,
out there.
It's funny you say that because I was reliably informed that we sounded crystal clear in Koh Samui last week.
Oh, for real?
For real. Yeah, so that's a big hello to all of our listeners in Koh Samui.
Yeah.
Hello.
To all of the listeners in Koh Samui.
Yes, but back to Daylesford.
Back to Daylesford. So I'm heading up there with Rob, my partner, and we're going to a workshop about Tantra, actually, so that should be quite interesting.
Oh, hello. Oh.
No wonder we're so focused on being naked. Goodness.
So that should be quite interesting. And I can't believe I just said that. And the next trip I've got planned is possibly Sri Lanka. It's a place I've always wanted to go. I've got some lovely friends from there, and I love Sri Lankan food, so that might be imminently on my travel agenda.
Have you started doing your research on Sri Lanka?
No, I'm hoping someone will just buy me a ticket and say, come with me.
I'll give you some free advice. Is that good enough?
Yes, please. I'd love to hear it.
It is absolutely stunning, and get to a tea plantation. It is.
Really?
Yeah. Oh, yeah. There's something magical about the colour of the greenness and the altitude and the whole ambience where the tea is made. It's quite a journey. There is some tea around Kandy, which is not too far, which is a day trip from Colombo. But you go a bit further and stay overnight in a tea plantation. Just out of this world.
Wow. That sounds fantastic.
Sri Lanka is a gorgeous, gorgeous, gorgeous
country.
So
that means you've been there.
Yes, it does. And I went with my partner for a wedding. We were living in the Middle East at the time, and it was just not long after the war had finished or the hostilities had finished. So there wasn't a lot of tourists, but the infrastructure is fantastic. And Sri Lanka's quite a departure from India, which I didn't expect. I thought they were going to be much more similar to southern India. And Sri Lanka is just breathtaking, and the people are gorgeous. They're lovely. They're so friendly. Yeah, it's an amazing place, but don't tell them to make the food hot because they have another definition of what's hot.
Oh, you mean hot spicy or hot
spicy.
Temperature? Okay, yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yum.
Yeah, I learned that the hard way.
Oh.
I thought, oh, I'm a big, brave boy. I'll have that spicy, thanks. Ooh. It was inedible to me.
Oh, gee. Mm. Wow.
And they laughed. I thought it was hilarious.
I bet they did. So one of my other travel plans might be for next year in about June. Travellers Aid International hosts an annual conference, and I try to go every couple of years, and the next one is in Boston. Ooh. In Massachusetts. And so
summer, did you say, in June?
In June. So that would be pretty neat. I think I'd like to do that and then maybe put some other things around that. Maybe New York and... I've got a friend who's recently moved to Toronto, so, you know, that's just not very far on the map, like, you know, when you measure that. So.
It's an Amtrak distance.
Exactly. So I think North America is another option. But, I haven't actually booked
it. If it isn't shut down, as we discussed last week.
Wow.
And I know we haven't given everybody an update with all of the statistics and the impact on the travel industry, but by now we're up to day 10 or 11, I'm thinking. So if the tourism industry over there is losing $30 million a day, minimum.
It's a lot of money.
Well, actually, a friend of mine who has just recently retired from being the president of Travellers Aid International, Ray Flint, he is and with his wife on their way to a wedding, 6-hour drive away, and they wanted to go to some national parks, and they're all shut. And, you know, that this was sort of going to be this road trip and part of the beginning of his retirement. And, it's tragic, isn't it? I just can't understand how this can happen.
Well, it's bizarre when you think about the impact. I mean, they couldn't even get their trade figures out. Because the person who tabulates those figures, of course,
it's
furloughed. Yeah, so their economy, we're not getting vital signals. People aren't able to get visas to travel there. I mean, some people might think it's a good thing because there are Americans, obviously, who can't get passports to get out. So, you know, everyone's stuck in limbo.
I just don't understand. But I did get to learn a new word, which is furlough.
Furlough?
Yeah.
Taken out to pasture.
Taken out to pasture. So it is sort of, it's nice.
It's different to garden leave, is it?
Yes.
Very. Garden leave, at least you still get paid.
That's true. Yeah, these dudes don't, which
no,
is tragic.
No,
so,
yeah.
Jodie, you do travel for work and you do travel personally, and you travel both regionally and to far destinations, and you go both with a group, solo, with a companion. What are some of your best trips for our Escape Pod listeners for travelling? What are the things that you've really learnt over the years that you are just mandatory?
Do you mean in terms of destination or travel tips?
Travel tips.
Oh, travel tips. I'm a big fan of the list, and I have lists for different times of the year and different destinations, because I've learnt...
So what goes on the list?
Well, for example, you know, phone chargers, if you get to take your phone, adapters. I start with the technology and then working my way through to toiletries and making sure I've got things of the right size in the carry-on luggage in the Ziploc bag, right through to always having a pashmina. Now, pashminas,
for the plane,
you always need it because it's so freezing. And also, if somebody's got really bad body odour, you can sort of put it up a little bit close to your nose so that with some lavender oil in it so you can't smell other people. And it's also helpful to use as a sarong if you need it, you know, if you're swimming. Or you can use it for a whole bunch of things. So pashmina is number one. The other thing I like to take is... lots of little things from home that I can give away to people as little gifts. So, you know, little kangaroos and koalas and little touristy things like that. Because if people, you know, give an exceptional service, or it's a nice way to sort of thank people, to just give them a little something. A lot of people really like that, especially, you know, kids and in different countries.
They might be getting a Mikey cover.
Well, that's right. That's right. That can be ordered from travelersaid.org.au.
Click on the link.
That's right. Some of the other travel tips I have, obviously, have travel insurance. If you don't have travel insurance,
it's a big one.
You cannot afford to travel. And
some spare credit on a credit card.
Yes, that's right. Yeah. Now, actually, a friend of mine travelled recently to Mauritius you know, had some significant cash and that was stolen along the way.
Oh dear.
So, you know, had I realised that that was the plan, I would have said take a sort of travel money, which you can use as like an FPOS card or withdraw it from the ATM. And I always have different options of different types of spending money. So always carry US dollars, small amount, and making sure that you've got your credit card, but also... making sure that you've got copies of all of those card numbers. If
you're
going to get stolen, then you can ring up and cancel them straight away.
And a copy of your passport.
Yes, and I have a little photocopy, and I have it scanned and on an email as well. I am so my father's daughter.
Wow, that is the list.
That's right.
It's 3:07.
This Joycast is a free service brought to you by Joy 94.9. Support Joy 94.9 by becoming a member at joy.org.au. Thanks for listening to another Joy podcast brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Help us keep Joy on air. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.